text today, as we begin a new series today, our text today will be in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 17 and 19. We have finished our summer series out of the book of Psalms, and that's always a fun series to do. Psalms is a wonderful book. Now we're going to go into a new series today in 1 Kings chapter number 17 and 1 Kings chapter number 19. Many years ago, when I was still a teenager, I went to work for Pepsi-Cola in Batavia, and I soon learned that in the hot summer weather, people drank a lot more Pepsi. Especially on a weekend, the demand for Pepsi products went through the roof. And it had been a hot summer day, and we had sent out many loads of Pepsi. And we usually worked until 5 p.m., but on that particular Friday, everybody left, and I was the one staying late, waiting for the last truck to come in. I had one of the overhead doors open, and I saw a great big car pull in the driveway. A little fella got out of the car and started walking towards the door, and I thought, who is this fella? He was a little short fella. He was wearing what I thought was kind of funny-looking outfit, plaid shorts, some kind of a funny shirt, and the little fella was eating a great big ice cream cone. And I met him at the door, and he said, aren't you working late? And I said, yeah, it's been a very busy day, and we've been going full speed ahead all day. And he said, well, it's after 7 p.m., and you're still here. I said, well, there's one truck still out. I'm waiting for him to come back so I can lock up. And the little fella came right in the building. And I didn't know who he was, so I followed him around, walked with him. And he looked around. He said, people drinking lots of Pepsi, and that's good. And I said, yeah, it keeps us busy. And then he said, you know, this is a good day for ice cream. Can I go get you one? And I said, no, thanks. As soon as the truck comes in, I'm going home. He said, okay, have a nice weekend. And he got back in his car and drove off. I thought, he's a funny-looking little fellow with his plaid shorts and his ice cream cone. But he seems like a nice enough fella. I don't know who he is or why he stopped to talk to me. Well, later, I would see quite a lot of him. I found out he was the man who owned the company. And he liked people who worked hard. And everybody called him Uncle Paul, and so did I. As we start our story today, it's the very same thing. A fella comes walking in, and he's a funny-looking fella. And everybody says, who is that? And later on, they'll find out who he is. But as the story unfolds, we're going to ask again the question, who is that? Who is it? Now, my friends, sometimes when you tell a story, it's important to start at the very beginning. But when God is involved in a story, the beginning of the story can really surprise you. For example, who would have ever thought a baby born in a manger would end up dying on a cross? So let's begin the story and see what surprises God has for us as the story unfolds. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Nobody ever seen or heard this fellow Elijah before. He was said to be a Tishbite, or that is, a place called Tishba was where he lived, but nobody ever heard of that either. So where did he come from? Well, somewhere way up in the mountains of Gilead, wild country. Nobody lives there. And when you see this fellow, he looks like a wild man. He's a great big hairy man all over. And he wears camel hide clothes, which are rough and tough clothes to wear. All the soft linens or the woven clothes that most people wear, that's not what he's got on. He looks like a wild man. And he came walking into the king's palace, a place of luxury and fine linen. And he said, I come from God. I have a message. There will be no rain again till I say so. And he turned and walked out the door and left. I'm sure everybody said, who was that? Some wild, crazy guy who thinks he can control the weather? And they laughed at him and said, who was that? Where'd he come from? Where did he go? He was gone, just like that. Nothing to worry about, they said. He's just some crazy old man talking nonsense. Well, that fall, it didn't rain. But in Israel, there are spring and fall rainy seasons. And so just wait a couple months and the spring rains will come. Everybody forgot all about that big, hairy, wild man. But the spring rains never came. They got very dry. And then there was no fall rain. It was a year and a half, no rain. 2 years, no rain. As they begin the third year and everything is dying, the king of Israel has a change of heart. We got to find that big hairy fella who said it wouldn't rain until he would say so. Our cattle and our horses are all going to die unless we get some rain. So King Ahab started a national manhunt. And when no one in Israel had seen hide nor hair of Elijah the Tishbite, King Ahab sent messengers to foreign countries and said, we need to find this fella. He's the cause of the drought. So search your countries and your cities for a wild man dressed in camel skins. I want him right away. But all to no avail. Now 3.5 years with no rain. Suddenly, here comes Elijah walking down the road, plain as day. And he says, give the king a message. I'll meet him on Mount Carmel for a contest. All 450 prophets of Baal versus me, Elijah, God's prophet. So Ahab meets Elijah. He calls him the reason for everybody's trouble. Elijah, you caused all this trouble, no rain for 3.5 years. And Elijah said, here's my offer. All 450 prophets of Baal, make a sacrifice and call down fire from heaven on the altar. Now, Elijah was a passionate man, the Bible says. Everything he did it with all his might. So he says, why don't you guys go first? So the prophets of Baal made an altar of stones, laid a sacrifice on the stones, and they prayed. And they danced. And they shouted to Baal. No use. They cut themselves with knives to prove their dedication to Baal. No use. All day long, no fire. At evening time, Elijah says, my turn. He says, let's pour some water on the sacrifice. So they said they poured 4 barrels of water on the sacrifice. He said, do it again. They poured 4 more barrels of water. He said, do it again. So they poured all together 12 barrels of water. The sacrifice is soaked, and there's a trench around it filled with water. And Elijah prayed to God in his passionate way, prove to these people that you are God. And fire fell from heaven All the water evaporated, sacrifice was consumed, and the fire was so hot, it melted the stones. That's a hot fire. So Elijah took all 450 prophets of Baal, killed them all, and he went up to the top of that mountain, and with his usual passion, he prayed for rain. He sent a servant to go out and look over to see for rain clouds. No rain clouds. It's bright and sunny. So he prayed the second time. No clouds. Third time, fourth time, fifth time. No clouds. Sixth time, seventh time. And finally, the servant says, I see a cloud, but it's only the size of a man's hand. He says, tell King, there is a sound of abundance of rain. And the wind blew violently, and the storm clouds rolled in from the sea. And it was such a driving rain that Ahab had to jump in his chariot and rush home before the storm washed him away. And as he was riding in his chariot, Elijah, who did everything with passion, ran in front of the chariot. That's faster than a horse. Oh, what a passionate man he was, that Elijah. Now there's proof. You got fire from heaven. You got wind-driven rain pouring down all over the land. God is real. Elijah proved it. Prophets of Baal are dead. But when Ahab gets home, tells his wife, Jezebel, she says, send Elijah a message. By tomorrow, he'll be dead. And that passionate man who prayed down fire from heaven, prayed down rain, and ran in front of a chariot, is suddenly struck by an intense wave of despair. Because as passionate he as he is for good, he is passionate in despair. And he runs south to escape for his life. He sits down under a tree and he says in a deep depression, Lord, I want to die. And in a passionate voice, he says, I give up. I want to die. Take my life. And he falls asleep. Angel wakes him up, says, here, eat this food. He eats the food, but in his deep depression, he falls asleep again. The angel wakes him up, says, eat, you have a long journey. So Elijah wanders south, deep into the desert, until he gets all the way to Mount Horeb, and there, where Moses got the Ten Commandments from God, he finds a cave. And he goes into the cave, hiding. Now, 1 Kings, chapter number 19. Verse number 9. He came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, have left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now notice God's question. What are you doing here? Elijah said, they want to kill me. I've been jealous for the Lord of hosts, and I proved that God is real, and now I'm the only man left who believes in God. So it's time for a little lesson. Here's God's lesson, verse number 11. And he said, go forth. Stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Wind, so strong, it pushes boulders loose, sends them flying over the cliff, smashing their way down the mountainside. An earthquake, the ground shakes and trembles, and everything is rattled, and a fire ignites. Driven by the wind, it roars across the valley. That's Elijah's style. Earth, wind, and fire. It was Elijah's proof that God was real. A parched earth proved that God was real. Fire from heaven on a soaked altar proved that God was real. And the wind-driven rain clouds that washed out the roads. Earth, wind, and fire. But as Elijah watches from his cave, God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake, nor in the fire. In his passion, Elijah had used these forces of nature to prove that God was real. But now everything's changed. It's all different. Now, after the violence of earth, wind, and fire, now, a still, small voice, a whisper, quiet, gentle voice, the voice of God. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God never changes. In the Old Testament, you'll read here, I am the Lord, I change not. In the New Testament, you'll read again, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And right here, right now, in East Shelby, God is the same. Sometimes we need an Elijah to come along and say, here's proof that God is real. You must believe that God is real. But always, 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 in the end, it's always the same. God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to tell you things, and he uses a still small voice, and you have to listen closely to hear. You have to quiet down and listen. He wants more than for you just to believe that he's real. He wants a relationship with you where you listen and he speaks, where he explains and you understand, where he commands and you obey, where he opens himself to you and you feel his power. It's all about hearing that still small voice. And God said to Elijah, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You should be back helping people to hear the still small voice. And then God said something that really must have shocked Elijah. Verse 15. Lord said unto him, go return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Israel, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. God said, I got your replacement. I got someone to take over your job. And Elijah says, but I'm the only one left. There are no more prophets. I'm the only one left. He said, no, Elijah, you are not the only one left. But a replacement for me? Yes, a replacement. Have I done wrong and do I need to be replaced? No, but you need help. But Lord, who's Elisha? I never heard of him. Well, he's the son of Saphat. Well, who's Saphat? He lives in a place called Abel Mahola. Where's that? I never heard of that place. And God said, yeah, it's kind of like Tishba, where you come from. You'll have to just go find him. And Elijah says, does he know I'm coming to find him? He said, no, he's got no idea. He doesn't even know I want him to be a prophet. So, why Elisha again? Why did you choose him, Lord? How is he qualified? What makes him your choice for my replacement? And God answers, because he's very good at hearing the still small voice. My friends, doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you come from. I can't tell you how many times I've told people, I'm from East Shelby, and they say, where's that? Can't tell you how many times. Or they ask, who are you? Did you go to seminary? And I say, no, but I heard a voice. A quiet voice. A still small voice. So quiet you can't hear it with your ears. You can only hear that voice down deep in your heart. And I'm here today because I want you to hear the same voice. Elijah heard it alone on the mountain. And God said, what are you doing here? Go back. Tell people to listen for that still small voice. And here's why, Elijah, verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. 7,000 people who believe that God is real, who need now to listen to the still small voice. Go help them. And there's a guy you'll take with you. So my friends, God still speaks with a quiet voice. It was written of Jesus that he didn't lift up his voice or cry out loud in the streets. But if you wanted to listen, he spoke. And if you would listen, he taught. And he explained. And if you just listen, he always said, come, follow me. When you hear his voice, we really want to make sure you recognize the sound of that voice. We don't want you to say, who is that, when that voice speaks. We want you to know the voice that speaks so softly and gently is the voice of Jesus. So that's the introduction to our new series. We will study the prophet Elisha. We've only heard his name and where he lives. Who is he? I don't know. He lives in Abel Mahola. Where is that? Next week, we'll meet him. And no doubt it'll surprise you when you find out who he is. In the meantime, I pray that you will listen closely for the still small voice and become very familiar with its soothing sound. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction of your word. It always comes to us listening to you speak. Help us, Lord, to always listen, to hear that voice, to know it, become familiar with it, and to love it and enjoy when you speak to us. Help us, Lord, to hear that voice and teach others to do the same. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In closing, I'd like you to turn in your hymn books, if you will. Hymn number 159, standing as we sing, I Need Thee Every Hour, page 159. I need thee every hour.
Page 159.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come.
For you. May we be ready and willing to listen, not try to force our way through life, not try to make everything our own way, but to listen to that still small voice, the quiet voice of God inside of us telling us what we ought to do. We pray that we would not ignore your word to us. We pray that we would listen and be willing and ready to hear, to push our stubborn pride aside so that we can hear what you have to say. Thank you that you care for us enough to continue to reach down to speak to us. Just pray that you would be with us. Watch over all of these people. Bring them back safely to this place. Help our hearts to be ready to listen to you throughout this coming week. And we just are grateful for all that we have in your name.